Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living
Radio show. Amen, amen, hallelujah. all praise, oh man, the Father is so merciful. Let me say, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Job Israel, Come and See Ministries, Bible study class, and we want to welcome everyone here to Come and See Ministries. We want to welcome everyone to this creation series and what it is and what it is to us. What is the creation? What is God? What is God? Who is God? That's the thing. Who is God? Where is? We all think that we know who He is. But the scriptures dictate who He is. The scriptures dictate who God is. And that's what we need to know. And when we use this term, God, what is it? It's a generic term anyway. I mean, it's made up out of a bastard language. That we striving with each other, just like Elohim and Yah, even Yahweh. Yahweh is a made-up term by the heathens after we was conquered in 586, called a tetragrammaton, that the name of the living God was so holy and so pure that they feared to say His name, so they came up with these abbreviations that's from a pagan origin. The alphabet itself, Yahweh, whatever. So all of it is nonsense. It's just a waste of time. It's a waste of time to even get off into that. What is the name of God? We're using this as a generic form to identify the Most High. A generic form. What do you mean? Because there isn't a conversation that can truly identify what the Most High is to us in this language. So that even all of that is just a waste of time. To even strive about names and things like that, because all those things will be done away with anyway when He come back. So it's a waste of time. So what is it? Who is He? We get all caught up in, you know, ideologies. We're not in this for ideology. We're in this because it's the end is him. And that's where he's introducing us to now. In the beginning, it's himself. There's nothing else there. So who else you going to face? Just like at the Great White Throne Judgment, heaven and earth is going to be moved. Heaven and earth is going to be moved. Ain't nobody going to be there but you and him. Of course, and everybody else just be a judge at that time. But like now, we got to think past when we start in the beginning. You got to erase light. You got to erase everything that you know right now. You got to erase all of that because it didn't exist. You got to erase all of it. You got to erase air, water, trees, the creatures, the beasts, fish. You got to erase all of that. Then you got to erase the earth because that don't exist. You got to erase the stars. No, you got to erase the stars and you got to erase the sun first. So that casts us into complete outer darkness. We never seen a darkness without the sun and the moon. So that casts us in complete darkness. Without the sun and the moon. You got to erase that. You got to erase that. Now you got what left? The earth. You got the earth. Okay? You got the earth. And they say he created heaven and earth, so you got to erase the earth. You got to erase the earth because the angel was created out of heaven. Then you got to erase the angels. Got to erase them. Got to wipe them off. Now you see it's nothing. It's becoming nothing. That's why I said it's nothing but you and him. That's it. You got to wipe all of that out. And that's where you'll find them. You'll find them right there. That's what we call deep darkness. So, let's get started with this. Let's get started. Genesis chapter 1:1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, what is this? What is this day called the first day? Well, we're not even here yet, because there's no such thing as a day. You got to wipe that out. You got to wipe out time. See, not only do you have to wipe out all these different things, you have to wipe time out. Well, you actually do when you erase the sun and the moon, because they for days and seasons. So you do wipe out time from that sense, generally. But what you wipe out overall is everlasting. Because there's no such thing. We don't even have a word that even comprehends everlasting. So we use these, we try to get a general sense of it. What is everlasting? Because that was before everything. That was before the heavens. The throne was back there too. Remember now, the angels, you wipe out the angels, you wipe out time, you back to a place called eternity. This is that thing. So that's where you find him. Because that's it. In the beginning, that's it. Ain't nothing else. So what's that? A puff of smoke? What's that? What can it be there? Well, let the scriptures tell us. Let's go to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we got two conversations here. In the beginning, there we were in Genesis chapter 1, right? That's where it was nothing. I mean, that's where, in the beginning, that's where we just went, right? Okay, but then here it says, was the Word. Well, if there's a word, there's consciousness. So that eliminates the Big Bang Theory that says it comes out of nothing. Well, if it's a word, then it's a conversation. And he's saying the Word was with God. So that's a conversation in itself, too. So you got two conversations going on out of nowhere, which you can actually justify the Big Bang Theory. Because that would only make sense, because if you throw a rock on still water, what happened? It rippled. This is where you get that conversation called ripple in time. The word of God. In the beginning was the Word. Boom, that's the Big Bang Theory that they said, that they heard from the beginning. You're right, that's it. Them talking. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, so we got two conversations here. We just found out that God is a uniplural word in this conversation. What do you mean a uniplural word? It's a uniplural word, meaning it's more than one. Like church. You got one building, but you got more than one conversation inside of you. You got many members, right? Office building. It's a singular, but it's uniplural because it got offices, but it's a building. So it's God. God is a uniplural word, which is offices. Excuse me. And there are going to be offices appointed in this time. We haven't gotten there yet. But this is a uniplural word that's going to expand at the first resurrection. So let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Isaiah 57 and 15. Thus say the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So, now you got, once again, this conversation from in the beginning. Thus say the high and lofty one that inhabiteth what? Eternity. In the beginning. Whose name is holy, which we can't pronounce with this alphabet that we're using, which is Phoenician or ancient Phoenician. With the, you know, with the insert of a Latin conversation with what we call vowels. But the alphabet itself is ancient Phoenician, which is not what the Father spoke. You didn't speak Phoenician. You spoke Hebrew. But this alphabet was given to us in the 14th century so that we would never know those things that belong to God. But, once again, our God created Babel. So he'll speak to us through these things. Anyway, he said, thus say the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place with him also. Boom, there it is. There it is. You got the word with God, and they both in the same place. They're both in the same place right now. In eternity. Why? Because that's what he said. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Boom, there it is. That's what you just got from the beginning. That conversation. Their conversation. Who are these two? Are they a puff of smoke? You know, are they the fictional pictures that we've been seeing through time, what God and the Father look like throughout Michelangelo imagination, or whoever decided to come up with these pictures of what they think God looked like? I'm talking about even our Israelite brothers that be out of control with that madness, trying to make God look like some old dude with white hair, with red eyes, like, you know, he just smoked a blunt or had a drink or something. And no, he's not like that. He's going to be 33 years old. And the reason why that hair is white, because that's the beginning of man right there. That's why most of us, our hair turned white, because it's not the end of man, it's actually the beginning. Anyway, he said, I dwell in a high holy place with him of a contrite spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. They are what we know as laws written in time, because there's no humble people in the creation or angels, nothing. This is a law that was written for them, that they remember those that are, so that they wouldn't sin against God and forget. This was written in eternity, before there was nothing. This is that sound we heard, was the laws being written. Between these two. Who are they? Like I said, for a lack of hearing. For the lack of hearing. I don't know, I can't say, for the lack of a word that we can comprehend what we could call, what we say, God. There's nothing in the language that we use that can vibrate anything that high. I don't care what nobody, nowhere out on this planet. Okay, how our tongues vibrate. There's nothing that can comprehend this speech because it don't exist. And man, it's here. So we can't even say what the name of God is because we never existed here. How is that? So even that conversation is mute. Because we can't comprehend the language that they're using in this time. See, we're talking about an eternity. We're not talking about now. You got to wipe this out. See, again, once again, you got to wipe out sound. You got to wipe out the sounds that you heard. Just like you had to wipe out the light and the sun and the moon, you had to wipe all that out. You had to wipe out sound too. Because the sounds you heard or hear wasn't there in the beginning. Just them. And they're making laws from there. That's the vibration. That's the big bang. That the word of God is going forth. And it's on fire. The law is on fire. He wrote it on fire. We're going to look at that. Romans 1 and 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. What invisible things? Of course, because there wasn't nothing there. Exactly. It wasn't nothing there. Nothing. That's called invisible. Nothing. That's where he at. That's what we're talking about. Nothing. It was a nothing there in the beginning. So how is it in us that we can find ourselves be able to even sin against God like that? At any time. Knowing that this is written. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, which are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Oh, God forbid. But there they are, right? We just read that in Isaiah 57. For I dwell in eternity with him, the Godhead right there, from the creation of the world, in the beginning. There it is. Let's look at this a little further. Go to Psalm 90 and 1. Prayer of Moses, the man of God. So this is for Moses, right? We always want to act like Moses disappeared when he died. No, Moses wrote letters to the priests that they read all the time. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. What is that? How did he know that? How did he know that? See? Right there. All the way from the beginning of time. That's where he is. Thank God. So, we're looking at him. From everlasting to everlasting. What is that? We see him there before there was nothing. And he said mountains formed. That includes heaven, because we can read that heaven had mountains, yeah. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Psalms 90 and 1. No, Job 36 and 26. Behold, God is great. We know him not. Neither can a number of his years be searched out. Why? Because there's no such thing as years. When he brought the conversation of years was with the suns and the moon. So that's impossible. Where he get this conversation from? Look like Moses and Job and the apostles are all on the same page. Let's go into St. John 17 and 1. These words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. So, now we're talking about this glory, right? He's asking of it from the Father, which were, okay, we, those of us that believe in Jesus Christ understand that he is the Son of God and was God with God, like, as we read. So now he's asking for this glory. He said, thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth and have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. So, he's from everlasting to everlasting. Because now he came out of everlasting. Now he's finna go back into it. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. There it is. That is, before the world was. See? That glory. What is that? So he had something on, he had a glory within himself. Not only you had these two, they both got this glory. Because he asked, he said, glorify me with yourself. So he got this glory too. What is it? Because this is, he said, before the world was. What this glory he had before? Oh, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. There it is. That is right there. So, What is this? Let's look at it. Because he said, who is God? What is God? Let's look at it. Psalms. Yeah, Psalms 104 and 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty. This is the Christ, this was Jesus praying about. He said, give me this glory. He said, thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covers thyself with light as a garment, who stretches out the heavens as a like a curtain. So his light is before heaven. What is this? This is that glory that was from the beginning. These two in heaven, when there's nothing, is lit up. We can see this. Because it just said, you covered yourself with majesty. Thou covers thyself with light as a with a garment and stretch out the heavens like a curtain. We ain't even got to the who make it the spirits and minister the flame. We ain't got to that yet because they don't exist. We still dealing with them. What we call God, Elohim, Yahweh, all that madness. For a lack of a word that fit their actual majesty, we have to use these dumbed down words. Let's look at this a little further. Go into St. John, Exodus chapter 33 and 18. What is this glory that was before the world? Exodus 33 and verse 18. Thou wilt thou surely well weigh. No, that's 33. Forgive me, I'm in 18. Okay. Exodus 33 and 18. I got it. Okay. And I beseech thee, show me thy glory. See, that's the glory that he was talking about before the world was. That's it. Moses wanted to see him because he said he was from there. So what do that look like? There, from being there, what that look like? Let's look at it. He said, and I beseech thee, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. So he said, he going to do it. And he going to proclaim the name of whom? There it is. The word of God was with God. He's going to proclaim the name of the Lord. That There he is with them. He's proclaiming that he was there, like he said, in the beginning, with him also of a contrite and humble spirit. He said, I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. There he is telling you right there. There it is. And he said, and it shall come to pass, while my glory pass by, that I will put thee in the cliff of a rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Because he would have looked, how, you know, he didn't even want to take a chance on him looking. But how can something like that be not that tempting not to look at God? I know the fear of God should be enough, but, man, he made sure that it wouldn't happen. He said, and it came to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cliff of a rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So he said he's going to show him the thing that Jesus said, give me before the world was. That he's going to show it to him. All right, let's go look at it. Let's go to Exodus 34. Exodus 34 and 5. It says, and the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. What? The Lord is a schizophrenic? Nope. He's talking about the Father. What we see right now is that the God that's from the beginning, which brought forth the word, is a priest. Right there. Because he said, I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. What do the priests do? Proclaim the name of the Lord. So he's going to show Moses how to show the Levites how to proclaim the name of the Lord. Exactly. And at the same time, he's going to show Moses what the priest's garments is supposed to look like. Yep. All at once. Yep. Look at this. He said, read it again. He said, no, let me pick it up at the one. He said, and the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like on the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were on the first tables which thou makest. How are we going to do that? He going to use a chisel and a hammer like the flint stones? I mean, you know, if you look at the Ten Commandments, it almost look like that. No. He going to show us how he did it. And he said, and be ready in the morning and come up in the morning on the Mount Sinai and present thyself there to me at the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let thou let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flock nor herd feed before the mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like on the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hands the tables of stone. Moses, man, right now is got to be 100. He 100. Because he died when he was 112. Something like that. He's going up these mountains with two tables of stone by himself. No cart, no goats, no nothing. After he just got through banging them out of some concrete. Okay. Anyway, this is, you know, just you know, tripping on that the spirit of Samson. We be missing this in our elders. It says, and the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord proceeded by before him and proclaimed the name of the Lord, Lord God, merciful, gracious, long suffering, and abundance of goodness and truth. keeping mercies for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity upon the fathers and the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worship. Moses saw all of that. So now he know how to show the priests how to present themselves before God, because he just saw God present himself before the Most High, which is in the beginning, which is what he do. So Moses made haste and bowed his head, and that's the other conversation take place. But we right now just dealing with the creation, the God here at the beginning, the in the beginning. That's what we're dealing with right now. Look at this a little further. Let's go into Deuteronomy chapter 4 and 24. So what did Moses see? What did Moses see? The Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous, what? God? Now remember that the word God wasn't there, the word Elohim wasn't there, the word Yahweh wasn't there, because none of these conversations existed because we didn't use the Phoenician alphabet. This is bull to sit up here and say this is that and that is this. You wasting your time. I'm past that madness. I don't have no conversation and I don't have no horse in that nonsense, period. That's why I'm trying to get to this conversation. I'm trying to learn how to speak and think like a Kesedek. You can hide the rest. He said, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. So when he went past him, he was on fire. So the glory that he had before the world was fire. So no wonder the heavens are on fire. No wonder the angels are on fire. No wonder the sun is on fire. No wonder the stars are on fire. Because all these things are from himself. Even the throne is on fire. That's from himself. The earth is on fire, but he gave it flesh. Just like us, we on fire, and he gave us flesh. Because we are the earth. The spiritual things, the things of heaven, are a reflection of heaven. Like the angel, ministering spirits, a flame of fire. From what? Heaven. Those things don't exist. Remember now, the conversation is your God. So Moses saw God from the beginning. That he is a consuming fire. And whatever color that fire was, Moses is the only one that ever seen that light. Of man. He the only one that ever seen that light. Of man. Nobody never seen that light. The book don't even say Adam saw that. But he probably did. I'm sure he did, because there was no sin in Adam that he shouldn't see his glory. And there was no such thing as death. So, of course, I guess that's he had to present himself like that before Adam. Okay, so let's say Adam and Eve both saw God. Amen. Okay, for what he was. Hallelujah. Revelations 1 and 11. So now God is fire, right? God is fire. We found this out because Moses said it, right? He passed by him. So Revelations 1 and 11. Revelation 1:11, it said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. Send it on to the seven churches which are in Asia, and Ephesus, and on the Samaria, and on the Pergamos, and on the Thyatira, and on the Sardis, and on the Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice which spake on the spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Right, this is John. This is what John's seeing right now. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, girded about the paps with a golden girdle. That's what the priest had on. That's what he showed Moses, how the priest's clothes should look. When he passed by Moses, he showed them how to glorify God and how the clothes supposed to look. He got them on right here. He said, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to his feet, girded about with paps, with golden girdles. His head and his hair were like wool as white as snow, and his eyes were as flame of fire. And his feet like on a fine brass, and if they burn with a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. What? He said he was on fire. Look, his hand were like white wool, but he's 33. Remember now, they don't remember Jesus being some old dude from heaven. So this let me know that he and the Father, who we call is the Father, are both images of themselves. So, and Adam, when he was created, he was in the image of God. This let me know that Adam had to be 33 years old as a man when he was created. He wasn't created as a baby that needed a diaper. He was like the Son of Man that came out the ground in reverse. There it is. He was 33 years old too. So the Father 33, Jesus 33. When he turned around and looked at him, this is what Moses saw. And he said, and his hair was like white wool and as white as snow, and his eyes was as a flame of fire, because that's his being. The inner man of him is fire. That's what the inner man will keep. Just what's in the light of man. Fire. That's what it is. And his feet was as fine brass, right? We already know that's the color of wood. As burned in a furnace, so that's like black. Like, you know, really black. So any white person that have a problem with a so-called black man telling you that God is black, Your concerns are not his. Exactly. The truth will set you free, and that's the only thing you should ever be about. I don't care who we are. I don't care if we Hebrew Israelites, Mongolian or Gentile. How might? Truth will set you free. You accept who the priest is, you might get to see these things, what a real priest look like. It's all part of the growth. Look at this. It says, and he said, and his feet, and his voice, blah, blah, blah. And his feet is unto fine brass, if they were burnt in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. So he is on fire. Because you can't look at the moon at a certain time of the year. I mean, no, forgive me. You can't look at the sun at a certain time of the year on fire at 12 o'clock because it's too close and it's too bright. Excuse me. It's too close and it's too bright. You can't even look at the sun and it's through clouds. How about that, right? And he created the Son from himself. This is the only word he could use to identify what he saw. And David said, he just called it majesty, light. He just called it light. He didn't even say it was the light of the sun. He just said it was light. Here, John said, as the sun, but it wasn't. And when I saw him, I fell as dead, fainted, and he laid his right hand upon me, amen, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, and alive forevermore, amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. There it is. There it is. Amen. So, now we see what Moses saw. That's where he was in the beginning, looking like that. He got fire coming out of his mouth, out of his hand. He said, what looked like a sword. And he had in his right hand what John saw was seven stars. Right? He called them seven stars, which was in his right hand. What? What is that? Exodus 28 and 1. And he said, and take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And also make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Amen? So, Moses saw what God had on, so that's how he got the idea to make these clothes. He didn't just come up with the conception of putting some clothes together and say, oh yeah, this is how Jesus had wore it, or this is how the prophets wore it, or this is this, that, and the other. No, man, he actually showed them himself. Okay. This is how the priest is supposed to look. And then he showed John, this is how the priest is going to look like in the kingdom. Now wait. He said, and you should make holy garment for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty, right? So Aaron clothes is different. Aaron clothes is different. Why? Because Jesus' clothes is going to be different. He's the high priest of the priesthood. He's the most high priest of God. That's who he is. Like Aaron. But, watch this. I'm going to skip down to 40. And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shall thou make for them for glory and for beauty. So, they had clothes, but it wasn't like Aaron's. They had their own clothes. So, John saw what the Most High God had on from the beginning, or the high priest, so to say. Right? John saw that. Then, Moses saw what it was in his strength, right? Now he's telling him, now you got to make clothes for them. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Revelation 5. Revelation And they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred tongue, people, and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." There it is. So you're going to get your own clothes. You're going to get your own clothes. Jesus is going to have his own clothes, but we're going to have our own clothes just like Aaron's sons did. Because he's the priest of the Most High God, so that only stands to reason that he will have on a different kind of glory. Right? Amen. So, go to Hebrews chapter 12 and 9. Let's not forget now. Hebrews 12 and 9. It says, "Furthermore, we had our fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and which given reverence, we shall much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live." See, this is not the verse I'm looking for right here. I think it's forgive me, y'all. I'm going to move around. Ezekiel chapter 1 and 4. No, I want to find that. Get that. I want to find that scripture. Oh, 12 and 29. Okay. Okay, my fault. 12 and 29. It says this. It says, "For our God is a consuming fire." So, if he said he's a priest and his clothes is on fire, guess what that make you? Exactly. You get to be on fire. Oh, yeah. You're on fire. Like him. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go to Ezekiel 1 and 4. "I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, a fire enfolding itself, and brightness was round about it, and the midst of it was the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire." So this is how God traveled. Now that he got a reason to travel, you know, in the beginning, you know, it was just him. Now he got this fire thing. We already tapped in the fact that he got angels, they on fire. So this is pretty much what they are. And it goes into this conversation about them. We're not dealing with that. What we're dealing with is him. Because whatever he was in the beginning, that's what we want to look at. Because Moses said he was on fire. John said he was dressed in linen on fire, right? With seven stars in his hand, right? Okay. Let me skip down to 24. "And they went, and I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of many, and the voice of a speech, as the noise of the host. When they stood still, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads. When they stood and had let down their wings, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. So we got to wrap our mind around this too, that the throne is above the angels right there. And the throne is a conversation all by itself. So let's look at that. It says, was the likeness of a throne and appearance of sapphire stone, and was upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man upon it. And as I saw the color of amber, the appearance of the fire round about it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, from the appearance of his loin even downward, I saw was the appearance of fire and its brightness round about. So he said, so Ezekiel saw the same thing. He saw God on fire. Whatever this, he said now, he said from his loins down, so he saw his clothes too. He saw what he looked like. And Ezekiel is a Levite. Let's look at that. Let's go back to look at what? And the word came especially to Ezekiel, the priest. See? So, of course, the God of Israel showed him his garments. He knew what it looked like. And the priest was still in order. It was something else, though, to imagine how God, right, would show a man how to glorify him. So, we see here he got this throne all around. His throne is on fire, right? Like I said, the throne is another conversation in itself. No, we're not dealing with that. Anyway. So let's move around. It says this. Now let's go to Revelations 4 and 1. Now remember now, here he said, now his color was amber. Hold on, let me read this next verse before I go to Revelations 4. It says, let me read these last verse. It says, I'm picking up at 27. I saw the color amber. Let's keep this in mind. As the appearance of fire round about it, and as the appearance of his loins even upward, and the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 4. So this is what Ezekiel saw. Let's see what John saw. Because he saw him in his holy garments. Now, look what else John was allowed to see. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, he said he heard the first voice, and he's letting you know he's going to hear other voices. Excuse me. The first voice which he heard was a trumpet talking to him. And he said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be after, hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon as jasper and sardius stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne that was like unto emerald. So his color is different. See how the priesthood, you got a different garment to praise, different colors for glory. You had the glory for Aaron, then you had the glory of his son. Then you got the glory for Aaron. Then you got the glory for God. Here you are, you got the glory of the Father, you got the glory of the Son, and then you got the glory of those that come up in the first resurrection, which still happen to turn out like this. 1 Corinthians 15, and 35 says, but Some will say, how are the dead raised up, and what body do they come? And verse 40 says, there are also celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial. We're terrestrial, which means terrain, celestial or heavenly. And it says, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is a glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, as one star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. There it is. We all going to have different colors on. Colors that we never seen before, because there are stars in the cosmos that we never seen. So this is that thing. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Hebrews chapter 1 and 1. Hebrews 1 and 1. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the Father by the prophets, and has in the last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he have appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, and sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Now, it says this, who being in the brightness of his glory, you just got through looking at that, in express image of his person, he's 33 years old, and whatever the apostles saw when they walked around with Jesus Christ, that's what the Father looked like. And he sat down right next to him. That's why he said, give me that glory I had before the world was. Being made so much better than the angels, of course, because the angels are ministering spirits in flame of fire. They're made from heaven. They're not even directly made from hell. So, of course, he would be made so much better. Of course, given his glory that he had before the world was. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Isaiah 30 and 27. Isaiah 30 and 27. Behold, the name of the Lord come from far, burning with his anger. The burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. Remember, John said he saw as if it was a sword coming out from his mouth. Isaiah says it's just fire. And he said, his breath as an overflowing stream to reach to the midst of the neck, to shift the nations as the seeds of vanity, and there shall be the bridle of the jaw of the people causing them to err. So while we so upset about the way the world is heading, knowing that this is from God, he the one that said he's causing them to err, ye shall have a song in the night of the holy solemnly is kept, and a gladness of heart when they go of a pipe and to come to the mountain of the Lord, the mighty one of Israel. The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show forth lightning down his arm. So John said it sounded like many waters. Ezekiel said it sounded like many waters. John said he saw seven stars. Isaiah said he saw lightning. Moses said, whatever the case is, he wrote the commandments in a table of stones with the seven stars in his hand. or with lightning. We know Moses saw it. He's the only witness. But we have a witness. Why John called it stars? Well, Isaiah said the angels are referred to as lightning too. Okay, moving right along with that conversation. He said, and he shall cause his glorious voice to be heard and show lightning down his arm, which is the indignation of his anger. And with flame of devouring fire, with scattering in tempest and hailstones, and through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrians be beaten down with smoke, with the rod. So this is that thing. And he's, let me keep on saying, every place where a grounded staff shall be passed, which the Lord shall lay upon him, and it shall be a tabret, a harp of battle of shaking, will fight with it. Tophet is ordained of old. Yea, for the king is prepared. He hath made it deep and large, and the power thereof is fire, much wood, and the breath of the Lord do kindle it. And it says, the breath of the Lord do kindle it, like a stream of brimstone do kindle the fire. So, Tophet is the lake of fire. So the lake of fire was before heaven. Because it has to be, because it's the only thing that's hotter than heaven. Because the angels is made from heaven. So it was written in the law that if the angels to sin against God, that they would be cast into this place called Tophet. Just like man. If man should sin against God, they'd be cast into this place called Tophet. Therefore, Tophet had to exist before the angels, because this place had to already be here for them to be judged at if they sinned against God. So yes, the lake of fire was here before the angels and the earth. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Deuteronomy chapter 9 and 10. And the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone written with the finger of God. There it is. So John said it was seven stars, and Isaiah said it was lightning, but John gave it a number. Right. So however the Kedjedik speak, this is an interesting conversation. So it's written with the finger of God. Here is what we read. It says, forgive me. Oh, yeah. And the Lord delivered me unto me the tables of stone written with the finger of God. On them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake unto you, with you in the mount of the midst of the fire in the day of assembly. And people, these things are still in the earth and the world today. The Gentiles have them when they came and they destroyed Jerusalem, and when they destroyed us under the Babylonian Empire, they took our things. The Ark of the Covenant, and that thing is still in their presence, and they know that there's a God. Let's look at this a little further. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenants and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And repayeth them that hate him to their face, and to destroy them, he will not be slack to them that hateth him, he will repay to his face. Oh, where am I going with this? Okay, all right, okay. I guess I'm going here in verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, faithful God, who keepeth mercy and covenants to them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So the law is forever. People sit up there and tell you the law is no more. Well, there isn't 1,000 generations between here and Moses. You know, between Moses and Jesus, there isn't 1,000 generations. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Genesis 14 and 17. Yep, 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was a priest of the Most High God. So who is Melchizedek? You haven't heard no name called Melchizedek at all until now. And he's the priest of the Most High God. So it's another one? So if he's the priest of the Most High God, then Aaron is the priest of the Most High God. So when Moses showed Aaron, when God showed Moses how to show Aaron how to approach God, that's what he do. Now he's showing Abraham how the kingdom is going to look. And he just presented him the kingdom, bread and wine. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram the Most High, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Remember now, he said, I dwell with him. He said, thus say the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. I dwell with him also of a contrite and humble spirit. There it is. Same conversation. So when he was showing us, when he was addressing Moses, when he was addressing Ezekiel, when he was addressing John, is that he was showing us what the Melchizedek priesthood, how it's supposed to function. And look, your God isn't just a God, a Elohim, a Yah, whatever you want to call him, or any of them terms you can trip yourself out on, go up ahead. I have at it. Look. Because there isn't a lack of a word that can identify this presence, or you can just say Most High. That's it. He the Most High. He the priest of the Most High, which is what John was allowed to see in Revelation chapter 4. He was the one that was covered in emerald. We saw the sun. Ezekiel saw the sun. He was in amber. And the Father was in emerald. And now we see the priest on the planet blessing the king. He said, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Most High God, which have delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave tithes of all. So Abraham paid into the kingdom. So your tithes is a kingdom shot. It's not just, you know, what you think they're supposed to be. It's whatever they're supposed to be. But it's this kingdom shot. If you want to get in the kingdom, you pay your tithes. It's all to it. I mean, of course, you got to be obedient to the law, but, you know, can't have one without the other. It's all to it. Even Jesus identified the dude that hit his chest and he said he gave a tenth or whatever he gave or whatever. and blew itself up. He identified that and he saw it. So it's a work. Got to do it. Pay your tithes. Hebrews 7 and 1. Hebrews 7 and 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abram returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abram gave a tenth part of all, first being interpreted king of righteousness, after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having no beginning of days, nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abiding for priests continually. There it is. So, the God of Israel, eternal Godhead, is a priesthood. The eternal Godhead, what we read that's in Romans chapter 1 and 8, is a priesthood. He's the priest of the Most High God. So this is what this is all about. And it's called a Melchizedek priesthood. So, like, you got the Levitical priesthood, right? But then you got Aaron, which was the high priest. Right? So who priesthood was it? Was it Aaron priesthood or was it the Levitical priesthood? It was the Levitical priesthood. Just like it's called the Melchizedek priesthood. And Jesus is the high priest. That's all to it. That's how it works. And that's where we at. That's who was there. That's it. That's it. That's they were the two in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They've been talking about themselves throughout this Word continually in bits and pieces, but we're so busy trying to get to the meat, we're missing the letter. We're really missing the letter. And he said, now watch this. He said, four. Now consider this man who was unto whom even a patriarch Abraham gave tenth to the spoil. There it is again. Very day thereof, the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, who commanded, see, there it is. So if you become the son of God, like he said, king of the priests, then you become of the Melchizedek priesthood. It doesn't matter what lineage you're from, whether you're Gentile, Ham, Japheth, Shem, or Ham, it don't matter. Righteousness, he's the king of righteousness, not lineage. He said he was without descent. He don't care where you're from. It's about righteousness. Let's wipe that out your head. And he said this. Now, this priesthood here, right? Pay attention to this. Now, he said, now this priesthood got a lineage. It got a name. He's telling you right now, the Levitical priesthood represent the Melchizedek priesthood. And Aaron represents Jesus Christ in the Levitical priesthood or the Melchizedek priesthood from the beginning. Right there. It says this. It says, without dissent, without contradiction, the less is blessed or the better. Here man received tithe. Okay. Without contradiction, the less is blessed or the better. Here man died, received tithe, but there received them who is a witness that he liveth. As I may say, Levi also received tithes, paid tithe to Abraham, who was in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Right. if there's a perfection by the Levitical priesthood under the people received the law, what further need was another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, not being called after the order Aaron? The priesthood being changed, they're made of a necessity to change of also of the law, for he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth another tribe, which man gave no attention to the altar, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah of the tribe. Moses spake nothing concerning the speaker priesthood. Why? Because the Melchizedek priesthood isn't about lineage. It's about righteousness. That's why we read in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, he said this. He said, thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests out of every... No, he said, thou hast redeemed us out of every nation, kingdom, and tongue. And has made us unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. There it is. Right there. The Melchizedek priesthood don't have nothing to do with lineage. It has everything to do with righteousness. That's why the first resurrection isn't about you being an Israelite. It's about your first fruits. Because either you present the first fruits, or you won't come up in the first fruits. There it is. How about that? That plain or something. All right, let's just wrap it all up like that. If you present the first fruit, you'll come up with the first fruit. If you don't present the first fruit, don't expect to come up with the first fruit. Now, story over with. Case in point. All right, let's look at this a little further. Let's keep reading. It says, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident that after, similar to the Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power in this life. Exactly. That's everybody that come up in the first resurrection. Now he's telling us, this is how the priesthood is coming up. But he testified that our priests forever after the order of Melchizedek, not Levitical. Now we after the order of the Father, which now let us know that, well, there's another name. There it is. Everybody blow past this one. You know, if there's a species that we can't identify the word God, you just call them the Melchizedeks. That's it. So that wipes out us to striving over, okay, well, his name is God, and his name is Yah, and his name is Elohim, and all that nonsense. Just call him Melchizedek. And then we can eliminate that whole conversation, and if you want to go back to that, then you want to be caught up in this world. You are nonsense. You should be dis out of there. You shouldn't have no conversation with people that's only trying to get to the next level. It's all to it. So, the name, that conversation to me, you can miss me with that because it's a waste of my time. I'm not even that. I'm so tired of it, and I'm so missing it. It's a dry conversation. It ain't going nowhere. Right here, he's telling you he's the king of righteousness and that out of every kindred tongue, people, and nation, that's the only way you're going to get in if you perform those things. Case in point, first fruits, getting the first resurrection. You ain't putting out your first fruit, then your second, then you mess around and you find yourself in the end gathering. And you better hope you got enough fruit to get you through that. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Zechariah chapter, did I read 21? Yeah, you did. No, I didn't. See, now, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him said he also, the Lord swear, and when I repent, thou priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. See? But you look at this here. Priest. That's a plural. So those that come up in the first resurrection or the first fruits, they're going to be made with an oath still forever from God. Now let's move around. It says, let's go to Zechariah 6 and 9. Because remember now we see who they are. They call Melchizedek. So if you want to continue to strive over things such as words like Elohim and Yah and all that nonsense, you're stunting your own growth. I ain't got time for you. Or that, I should say that. Please forgive me. I don't have time for that. Zechariah 6 and 9. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, take of them of the captivity of Hadiah, of Tobiah, of Jedahiah, which came from Babylon. And come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah, and take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jehoshadak, the high priest. Stop. Who is Joshua? Uh-huh. Yeah, and we want to be tripping on the name of Jesus. There it is right there. We want to trip on the Son of God. There he is right there. You know, those of us that's in the Old Testament, well, where he at? Well, there he is. You know, ain't no Jesus Christ. Man, you don't even read your Old Testament. I believe in the Torah. Then, man, you really wasting my time. I mean, we really wasting time here. You ain't wasting my time. We just wasting time. So best to just move around. Don't have time to waste with you or you if you're not about this. That's all to it. If y'all are monkey balls, then that's the end of your story. I'm done with it. That's it. I got to keep this pushing. That's it. That's all that matters. So, with that being said, it says this. And a crown of, it says, let me read that 11 again. It takes silver gold and make crowns, plural, right? Because in another story, the 24 elders threw them at his feet, and he put them on his head. Upon his head with many crowns, so it says this. It said, and make crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jehoshadak, the high priest. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, say, behold, the man whose name is the branch, he shall grow up out of his place and shall build the temple of the Lord. The branches, of course, Jesus Christ. He told you himself, he said, I'm the vine, things like that. And he says, 13, and he shall build the temple of the Lord and shall bear his glory. There it is. What we've been talking about, the entire precept. He's going to bear the glory of the Melchizedek priesthood. That glory that he's going to have on the garments of praise, that is to say the linen and all that type of stuff, this is what they had on in the beginning. What is God? A candidate. That's it. So if I use the term God, it's because I'm only using it because I can't think of nothing else higher. And please don't instruct me to use anything out of this bastard language to say it's something higher than say. I don't want to hear it. You're going to miss me with that because there ain't none of this conversation you can say that's going to be higher than what's coming. So I'm just stuck with this. Like I'm stuck with paper money versus real money. Anyway. And it says this. He said, he's going to build the temple of the Lord, verse 13, and he shall build the temple of the Lord and shall bear his glory and sit and rule upon his throne and shall be priest upon his throne, and a council of peace that shall be between them both. There it is. Case in point. Jehoshadak, Melchizedek, and he's telling you that his name is Jesus, that he said he came in his father's name, because there it is right there in it. See it? Jehoshadak. So high right there, and you see Joshua. So it's in there too. Or we can pull Jesse out of our head, right? Start there and finish it off there. I mean, what ways you want to flip this, man? It's just a conversation. It's what it is. And when you're done with it, it's still going to come back to the Father and the Son. It's going to be Jesus Christ because this is 21st century. You can't get around it. You can fight all you want. 21st century, can't get around it. The conversation's going to narrow down to this. And then it's going to end up about righteousness in the end anyway. So you can waste, like I said, you can miss me with the rest because it's all about righteousness. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James, Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as light. There it is again. Wait a minute. And behold, there appeared Moses and Elias talking to him. You think they were shining like him? It said he was the one shining as the light. And Moses and them was with him. So there was a reflection of his glory. There you go. So for those of us that think that Elias and Moses ain't getting into the kingdom, forget about it. They are. And it said they were there. They had their own glory because they was a reflection of the glory that was there. Why? Because the sun, the moon is a reflection of the glory of the sun. And the stars are a reflection of the glory of the sun. That's why it's called solar system. Right. Anyway, let me finish this. It says, and there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, if it was good for us to be here, if thou wilt, let us here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. That's the candidate. Right. Even though Moses represented that, even though Elias represented that, Christ was the candidate. He's the lawgiver. He was the one that was next to him. That's the one that was in the beginning with him. He was the word of God that was with him, that wanted to, that counsel of peace that was with them in the beginning. That's him right there. This is my son. You listen to him. Although the process is great men. He said, listen to him. Excuse me. And he said, and while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the disciples heard it, and they fell on their face and were so afraid. And Jesus touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And they lift up their eyes and saw no man save Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Why? Because that's how the first fruits coming up. And it wasn't for man, it wasn't for nobody to know. And I was the law. Now, go back to Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and God was without form. Forgive me. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good, and divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and darkness he called night, evening and morning were the first day. That is. So, now, there's so many more elements in this first day that he did, but, you know, we just getting on what is God, right? You know, I guess we found out he is a priest and he's the order of Melchizedek. So we found out that has to be a species because he got a name on it. Now, did it have a beginning or an end? Because he said he's from everlasting to everlasting, the Alpha and Omega, so it don't have a beginning and an end. It's just a species, just like the word we choose to use in this. And this dispensation called God, others Elohim, others Allah, other Buddha, and whatever they decide to choose out and pull out their head, you know, hat, whatever. But the bottom line is the Hebrews, the God of Israel, the people that choosing a God, worship this one here. They was following after the Melchizedek priesthood. So with that being said, excuse me here. My phone is deep. Let's take a break. So with that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And look, and now we know who God is. Well, at least we got a, I ain't saying this is the end all, be all, everything. What it do is it opens our understanding that we can now see how even God approaches himself. Amen. Amen. So, I'm going to say Shabbat Shalom, and don't forget to read them books. Bye.